The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Time check is just about going 18 minutes past five. And once again, that's where we are. The Israel Report with Rolien Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and also spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation. Rolien, good afternoon to you. Thanks always for joining us on the show at this point in time.
Good afternoon. Moment in my day I look so forward to.
No, we all look forward to chatting to you, Rolien, on the afternoon overdrive, and certainly we want to get our teeth stuck into something. Let me begin. Israel has now asked Congress to press South Africa to drop the ICJ genocide case. Over to you.
Well, this has been a big topic of discussion, South Africa's case at the ICJ, for the last 24 hours. So it started last night in a scoop by Barak Ravid in Axios, which is an American publication. Now, if you recall, a couple of months ago, lawyers approached Congress with a document to review the relationship between the United States and South Africa, which the Congress is taking very, very seriously, because the then South African government had aligned itself with Hamas. The ANC-led government had aligned itself with Hamas, and this had grave concerns for U.S. Congress. And we have heard over, I'd say, probably the last 19 months or so, as South Africa pushes its accusation of genocide at the International Court of Justice at The Hague, we have heard threats coming from the United States saying, first of all, there is no genocide in the Gaza Strip, and second of all, that this could have serious repercussions. Now it's been uncovered that in a classified cable to the Israeli embassy in Washington and to consulates across the United States, that Israeli diplomats were asked to work with lawmakers on the federal and the state level, and with the Jewish organizations, with various governors, to put pressure on South Africa to change its policy towards Israel, and to make it very clear that their current actions, like supporting Hamas and pushing all these anti-Israel moves in international courts, will come with a heavy, heavy price. Now, what is very interesting is that as we speak, news broke today that at least 25 African countries are convening in Addis Ababa to hold a conference, first of all, to show their solidarity with the state of Israel, but also to look at ways that the Abraham Accords, a topic you and I are very passionate about, could be expanded to Africa. As many people who are familiar with the history of Israel, with the history of African countries, with the climate challenges, etc., no country is better poised to help African countries than the state of Israel. So there are a lot of moving parts with regards to putting pressure. You know, will pressure work, or will it drive South Africa straight towards China and Russia? And of course, the United States is looking to counterbalance the growing alliance between Iran, China, and Russia. So very, very interesting. And then, of course, another big story breaking here in Israel, you can actually follow in the Jerusalem Post, is the South African legal team to the International Court of Justice have now asked for a several months expansion on the deadline to submit evidence of genocide.
Okay, interesting. Now, if I can come in there, several months. And you know what's curious about this whole debacle, Rolien, if I may? Usually it's the defendant who asks for a postponement and an extension, and not the complainant. There's something peculiar
well, that's exactly
at play
it. There's something very peculiar at play here. You know, you would think that if South Africa is going to make these largesse accusations of genocide at the International Court of Justice, that they would have their ducks in a row and all the evidence that they need. Well, cut to recent days, and they have asked for an extension beyond the 28th of October deadline. And you and I have been speaking, and anybody who's been following the sham of a case know that there is no genocide happening in Gaza. Yes, there have been civilian deaths. It is a war. And unfortunately, in war, the innocent get killed. But you and I have spoken extensively about the casualty figures. And a genocide is not about casualty numbers. And those casualty numbers are heavily, heavily disputed. We've got Israel confirming that we've killed at least 17,000 Hamas. I'm going to use the term terrorists because that is exactly what they are. I think we've passed the threshold of calling them militants and militia. We crossed that without any shadow of a doubt on the 7th of October. You minus that from the latest figure of 41,000. And then there's about 10,000 unaccounted deaths, which Hamas have admitted to. So we don't know if it's natural causes or something else. And then you've left with the estimated amount of civilian casualties. You and I know the lengths that the IDF go to avoid civilian casualties. We've had the reports coming in from the high level military group, and one of those military officials who I happened to interview actually laughed at the name. He said, couldn't we have come up with a better name than high level military group? But that's the highest level of the military, colonels, brigadier generals from various NATO countries who have made many trips to Israel, including just last week, to assess for themselves what is happening in Gaza. They've looked at the evidence on Israel's side, because we can't forget what has led to this war. And their conclusion is there's absolutely, first of all, no genocide, and second of all, that no military, including their own, have gone to the lengths that the IDF have gone to ensure as few civilian casualties as possible. So come South Africa with this ludicrous charge, and I'm going to give it to you straight. This was not about genocide. Let's be very clear, because that has been disproven again and again and again. All the accusations, humanitarian aid, famine, civilian death counts, and intent. There is only one party here that is intent on genocide, and that is Hamas. It says so in its foundational charters. Its officials have gone on countless TV programs to promote the fact that they are supportive of genocide. We saw genocide in its full and ugly face on the 7th of October, and genocide is about intent. And as the military official said to me, he says, armies don't take their cues from the ramblings of politicians in press conferences. There is a chain of command that comes directly from the war cabinet, and every army saber rattles. I think throughout the history of war, you've heard armies, you've heard politicians, you've heard leaders rattle there. That's it. So I think now South Africa, the chickens are coming home to roost. And not only has the previous president of the ICJ clarified the recommendations and rulings which did not claim genocide, but here we have the South African legal team on the proverbial back foot, because they don't have the evidence.
Rolene, if I can share this with our listeners, with you and your listeners, one of your followers on social media, and I quote, "If there is not sufficient evidence, why didn't the ICJ reject their petition instead of proceeding? The ICJ in South Africa, the egg on their face, poetic justice. They really shouldn't mess with those who have God in their corner, especially as the IDF do have detailed evidence of what we are doing and what Hamas did and continue to do." Your take on that? I think that really sums it up.
Well, that's an excellent take. I mean, first of all, we've got to look at the, who sits on the court, and with the exception of the brilliant Justice Sebutinde, Julius Sebutinde from Uganda, and the Israeli justice, Haron Barak, who sat at the time, we could see that the bases were loaded against Israel. That was a given. You could hear it. What I find absolutely extraordinary is that what the ICJ did rule with absolute clarification is the call for the immediate release of all of the hostages. Mm-hmm. Now, South Africa, whose foreign minister, Naledi Pandor, was present in the port. She, of course, has been succeeded by Ronald Lamola, who was then the justice chief, also present in the court. Well, Naledi Pandor, and I'm sure she's listening. I mean, we know, you know, who knows? Maybe Dirk, I do listen, and maybe now that she's got so much time on her hands, she listens to the Israel report, Michael. But she had a direct line to Ismail Haniyeh, who is no longer with us. She had a direct line to him. She had a direct line to Iran that cannot be refuted because she hot-footed it off to Tehran at the beginning of the war. She could have called for the immediate release of the hostages, and she did not do that. And neither has now Foreign Minister Ronald Lamola.
Rolene, would you believe it? We've just about run out of time, but thanks so much. Yes, we had to really dig into that, and let's see exactly how this is going to transpire in the next 7 months. Well, 7 months preceding October the 28th, but yeah, interesting times we're living in. Let's see how far that case gets regarding their look into genocide being committed in Gaza. But Rolene, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Afternoon Overdrive to give us your thoughts on this issue. Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation.